Begin the current daven, but become a daf chav gimel. Begin on the second line daven for the top of the yamut, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is because there was a relevancy to this machlekes amiram rebirch neshlakish to the halach of our mishnah regarding hakelef shanot lacharara, when the dog takes the biscuit and there's a hot coal there that it's cooked on, and then he eats the biscuit and then burns up through the coal the other person's kaddish. So on that, we had halacha that is going to be chayv chatzi nezek. The Gemara introduced the following machlekes amiram because it related seemingly to a question on Rish Lakish's opinion. The machlekes was regarding the halacha of ishay. When someone has his fire and the damages, what's the underlying principle of what the mechanics that's machayv the person? Is it like Rabbi Yochanan says because of chitzav? It's considered like the person's arrows, where although it damages over there, but it's the person's force that's causing it, and therefore there's a liability by fire? Or is it because of, like Rish Lakish says, because of memoina, because it's your fire, you own the fire, you're the originator of it, this is your ox, this is your pit, this is your fire, and it's your mammon, and you're liable for your mammon's damages? That's Malchikas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Now, on that, the Gemara continues on the following theme. Amar Rabba says, Kasha Leila Abaya. Abaya had the following question. Lamanda Amma Isha Mishum Chitzav, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the liability of fire is because we consider it as the person's arrows, and just like Kaychai of the person is Kagufai, so to the fire is the liability as the person himself. So how do we understand, as we've mentioned in the in a different daf, regarding that each mazik has its own uniqueness? That's why the term mentions them individually. What's unique about the mazik of Eish, of fire, is that if there's something hidden inside, let's say a goddish in a silo, a pile of grain, then there's an exemption from the mazik of Eish. On that, Abaye asked, how do we understand that? In other words, if you say like Rish Lakish that Eish is mishum imaynoi, that you're chayv because of like all the other mazikin, so it's no wonder that you'd be exempt when it's hidden inside, because although all other damages of a person's money, like by Karen or Shane or Regal, that there's a liability for something that's hidden, that's because each of the mazikin, each one of a person's mama that's mazik, we find differences in halacha regarding Karen, Shane, and Regal according to each one's individual halacha. Shane and Regal is partner Shasarabim, Karen has Tam and Muad. So therefore, it would make sense that also Eish has its own uniqueness, which is that it's going to be exempt when it's Tam. But however, when the person shoots an arrow and he damages something that's hidden in something, what, you think he's not going to be liable for his damages? That the Gemara tells us later on, the Chavav Mabez, it says in the Pasuk, Petzah Tachas Pasa, which says that a person that causes damages is liable whether he did it by mistake, intentionally, Ba'inus, Karatz, and it doesn't make a difference how he does it, he's going to be Chayv. And therefore, Abaye's question was, it's not logical to say like Rabbi Yochanan, to say that a person's fire is going to be liable like Chitzav, like his arrows, because the Torah seemingly says a difference which wouldn't make sense according if it's Adam HaMazik. If it's the person, then why is it going to be exempt on Taman? If it's a Mammon HaMazik, okay, each one has its own uniqueness, but why by, if it was because of Chitzav, would you be exempt from Taman when it's hidden inside something? So that Rava says, V'nichilei, and Abaye answered his question, Kagain, for example, in the following case, Shenafla Dleikala Isachatza, where if a person had a fire in his courtyard, V'nafla get there, and then the wall of his courtyard collapses. Shaloi Machmas Dleika, not because of the fire that he had made, because if it was because of his fire, it would still be an extension of his fire's arrows just shooting out, continuing in its dangerous path, first knocking down this wall and then burning down the other person's kaddish. So it didn't even fall because of the fire. Actually, because of the fire, maybe the wall would have contained it. But the wall just happened to collapse after he had already made a fire. Then the fire, now with nothing in its way, went and burnt up and damaged someone else's grain in someone else's yard. In that type of a case, which literally means to say the arrows have already been stopped. In other words, when this guy lit a fire, which is essentially the metaphor Rabbi Yochanan has been using of shooting an arrow, it wasn't able to damage in someone else's courtyard because it had a wall which would have blocked it from damaging. So you can't say anymore, Isha Mishum Chitzav. So you're right, fire is usually chayiv because of chitzav. So therefore, it should be chayiv if not tamen. So when do you find the Torah saying that you're going to be pater on tamen from Eish? It's talking about when there's no Isha Mishum Chitzav. How do you have that? When the arrows have already been stopped. The wall considers it as if the arrows would not have extended past that. If the wall collapses, and then therefore it goes. That's not because of the person's making the fire, which we view the extension of that as his arrows. His arrows wouldn't have gone. It's something else that causes the falling of the wall. That's why that's a case that it'd be patur on tamen. The adam mazik would not be mechayvet on tamen. Now the Gemara says, but if that's the case, then how do you understand the whole halacha then? You're saying that's a case when he'd be patron tamim. Patron tamim, what's hidden? You'd be patron even that which is revealed. There's no more eish. Eish, you tell me, is only an extension of the person. It's like his arrows. But shooting the arrow would not have gone because the wall was in the way. You're only chayv up until the wall is. The wall collapsed. That's something else. That's not going to be my arrows. So then, why are you just exempt on tamim? You should be exempt on anything. It shouldn't be considered the eish hamasik because there's no more arrows. So the Gemara says, Ela laman de isli mishum chitzav. No, the halacha is that Rabbi Yechanan, who all along was saying that isha mishum chitzav, fire is because it's an extension of the person, it's his arrows, isli nami mishum amayne. He also agrees to Rish Lakish that there is a liability, there's an aspect of eish, which is that to be make us a person liable because it's his money too. He also owns the fire. In other words, like in the case we just described, where there's no liability because of his arrows, there is going to be a liability because it's his money, and that would be mechayvim. Therefore, regarding the fact what's revealed, what's out in the open, even though his arrows has stopped, so he's not chayv because of that part of the adam, which would be mechayvim even on tamim, but he's going to be liable because of the mammon. Now, because of the mammonous aspect, there is where you're going to be patur on tamim, like all the mammon hamazik can have certain exceptions, and by eish, as the mammon hamazik part is exempt on tamim. So as the Gemara explains, the case we'd be talking about, meaning so why chayv even on the mammon part, it's talking about that he should have fenced it. In other words, the wall collapsed, but he knows he has a fire in his backyard. Before the fire passed by, he had time to go ahead and block up that wall and close it up again. And he didn't fence it up. Now, so you're right. Although you cannot be mechayv, you cannot make him liable because of the original part of the fire, which to make him chayv for the end because that his arrows have already stopped, but you can be mechayv him because of the end, which is you didn't properly safeguard your gacheles, your coal, because you should have made a fence. That's like a case of an ox where you had brought your ox into the pen and didn't close the door, and it goes out and it damages. The reason why you chayiv is because you didn't do an appropriate shmira on your mammon. That's exactly the case that we're describing over here. Where would Rabbi Yechanan have a patur on tamim? Not by a regular case of fire. Regular case of fire, of course, you'd be chayiv on tamim because it's like adam amazik. It's like an extension of the person. It's isha mishim chitzav. It's kaychay kagufay. So when do you have the patur? Is when you have the other element which Rabbi Yechanan agrees to Rish Lakish of the mammon in this aspect. When do you have that? Where there's no mechitzav because although you made the fire, but the wall was there, but then the wall collapsed. But now that the wall collapsed, so it's an einus, so what should I do? No, because you had time to put up the wall. So now, although the arrows are not considered, because again, the arrows, when you had made it, it's when you shoot the arrow. If there's a wall, it couldn't have gone. If someone takes down the wall, that's not my arrows causing damage, that's the wall coming down. But there's still the mummonous aspect of it. You have your fire, you should protect it. You should have put up the wall. You didn't. It's like an ox that you didn't close the door. And that's why you're going to be chayv on the what's megula, what's revealed. But again, on tamim, you're going to be exempt because that's the uniqueness of the mazik of eish, which is potter on tamim. Now the Gemara asks, now that you just told me that according to Rabbi Yechanan, the one who holds that the fire is because of his arrows, islay nami mishum amayne, also agrees to Rish Lakish that the liability of fire is also because it's the person's mammon, so my benayu. So then, as Rashi explains, when the coal is owned by the same person as the one who made the fire, so then what's the difference between Rabbi Yechanan, who is going to be mechayev, the one who made the fire because of two components, one because of chitzav and one because of mamayne, what would be any different from Rish Lakish, who says there's only liability because of one component of mammon? It doesn't make a difference. Either way, you're going to be chayiv, so what's the difference? Because as Rashi points out, obviously, because look, there's obviously a difference as we start off the sugya, the previous daf, which is when it's someone else's kol, so very well understood that would be a fundamental difference. If you hold isha mishum mamayne, well, it's not his fire. Even though he caused it, it doesn't make a difference. He'd be exempt. If you hold isha mishum chitzav, so he caused it, so it's like his arrows. If you take someone else's arrows and shoot something, of course you're going to be chayiv. But as Rashi points out, obviously the machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish is even when it's the same guy's coal who made the fire. The reason being is because even the wording of, like when Rabbi Yechanan says, ishoy mishum chitzav, his fire is because of his arrows, which obviously that means to say they're talking about even his fire, meaning when the coal is his. So it's regarding such a case Where, okay, so now what's the difference? When the guy takes his coal, makes a fire, and now it could cause the damage, what's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlach Kosh? Why do we need Rabbi Yochanan to tell us Isha Mishim Chitzav? You hold anyways Isha Mishim Mimainai, so what does it make a difference now? You're going to be chai because of Mammon. Why do we need it to know that it's also considered as arrows? Whereas Rashi elaborates this a little bit more, and he says, up until now, we had thought Rabbi Yochanan holds that Isha is only because of Chitzav, and not because of Mimainai. Where, as he explained, the reason why there's no Mammon Hamazik in Isha is because a Mammon HaMazik, like Shire, has substance. A fire, a flame, has no substance. So we very well understood that the difference between them is where it's his Mammon, but it's not his arrows. For example, like the case we just described, when the wall falls down, where there's no more arrows, where according to Rabbi Yechon, we had assumed, okay, so you're going to be Potter because there's no more arrows, and according to Shlok, it should be Chayev. But now that we said in the Gemara that both of them agree that there's a Chayev of Mammon by the fires, then what's the difference between Rabbi Yechon and Shlok is? So the Gemara answers, Iki b'nai, the difference between them would be l'chayvay ba'bar dvar. That is to make a person liable who damaged with his fire on the person if he's going to be chayv in four damages that happen to the person. In other words, Kohen Rabbi Yechanan holds that fire has liability not only because it's his moment, but also we consider as the arrows of the person that made the fire. So if, let's say, the fire burns a person's hand, then the one who made the fire is going to be chayav for four things. For nezik, for the damage, for the tzar, for the pain, for the reaper, for the doctor bills, and for the shevis, the amount of work this guy lost. Where it's only four, not what we usually call the five things, because for baishas, for the embarrassment, that wouldn't be the case. As Igmar says at the end of the parak, the liability of baishas is only until the person intends to do that, where here he didn't intend to, it just that guy's hand got burnt in the fire. But those four things, he's going to be liable because of his negligence, where he should have entertained that the wind is going to take it, as the Gemara says at the end of the parak, where if even a person falls off of a roof, where he didn't jump off, he just fell off, but it was a common wind, it's something that should have entertained. If he falls on a person and hurts that person, he's liable for the four things again, but not ambitious, where since he didn't intend for that to be. Now, whereas according to Rish Lakish, that says that the liability of fire is only because of mammon, when the person's mammon damages a person, he's only chayv for hezek, he's not chayv for the other things. So that would be the difference between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechon's additional component of chitzav would make it like this person damaged that person with the fire. A person that damaged another person is chayv not just for nezek, but also for tzar, ripui, and shevis. Now, Rashi points out, essentially, the Gemara could have said a different difference between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, which actually was referenced in the previous daf of Kelev and Gummel, where we said that according to the one where when the dog takes something or the camel has something on its back and causes a fire because the straw goes into by the store, where we said that according to the one who says that, like Rabbi Yechon, that Isha is Mishim Chitzav, you'd be Chayiv because although it's not, you don't own that fire, but your animal caused that, like Tzrairis, it caused that fire. But if you hold that Isha Mishim Emainai, then the regarding that Chiyiv, then there wouldn't be any Chiyiv. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yechanan, you'd be Chayiv, but according to the one that holds that there is no Isha Mishim Chitzav, would be Potter. So why didn't the Gemara say that that was a difference between Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish? So and that Rashi says is because, as we mentioned before, the Gemara wanted to say a difference, that even when the coal is the same owners, that seemingly, as we see from the words of Rabbi Yechon and Shlakish, Isha Mishim Chitzav, Isha, his fire, we're there in that case, do we find a difference? That's what the Gemara is saying, that even in those, yes, when they're different, when the fire is owned by one person, but then this person caused it, either him or his animal, yeah, that would be a difference. But we want to say, even in when he's owned by the same person, what's the difference? Your enemy is chayiv because of mammon. The difference is, would you also be chayiv for abar dvam? That's only according to Rabbi Yechon holds Isha Mishim Chitzav. Nothing more continues explaining our Mishnah that said, Al Harar Mishalim Vechulu, which we said that regarding the biscuit, the owner of the dog is going to be Chayv Nezek Shalom because his dog ate up that person's cookie. But on the Gaddish that he then took it to and there was the coal there that fell on the Gaddish and he's going to be Chayv on that, Chatzi Nezek. So the Gemara asks, as we've mentioned this in the previous daf, Man Chayv. So who's Chayv regarding this Gaddish that we said that the liability is Chatzi Nezek? Baal Kelev, the owner of the dog. Where we had different explanations, either because he threw it, or even if he placed it down, and it's regarding the rest of the Gaddish, which Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish, but the liability is in the owner of the dog. And that the Gemara asks, V'lechayiv nami b'gachelis. But why? The owner of the coal should also be liable. Where, according to either interpretation, the Gemara just concluded, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlakish agree that by fire, there's not only a liability possibly as chitza, but according to everybody, it's your mamon. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that he explained this part of the halacha of the Mishnah, that on the gadol she pay chatzi nezek is because of tzrei rois. So then the question is, so let the owner of the kol pay the other half, because it's his mamon, it's his fire that caused damage, and he should have watched it. Rish Lakish that says that actually on the whole gadish you're going to be pater, because he holds that it's only where the dog threw it where you're going to be chayiv the chatzi nezek, but the rest you're going to be pater. Let the owner of the kol be chayiv for all those damages. Now the assumption of the Gemara is that the cookie and the kol are owned by one person and the gadish is owned by somebody else. So the question is, so why isn't the owner of the kol, who that's what the dog took and threw on the gadish, why isn't he chayiv for the rest of the damages? So the Gemara says, you're right, although that Eish is Mishamamun according to everybody, and therefore, although that the dog was definitely a player in causing his damages, and he's chayiv for whatever he could be chayiv for, but the rest of it will not be chayiv by the owner of the coal, because Toma B'Shashima Gechalti, where he safeguarded his coal, where he locked the coal in his house very well, and therefore he's an Einus, and therefore he's not chayiv. It's the dog that came and took it, which the Gemara asks, if he watched his call and he actually locked it up pretty well, so my boy Caleb Hassan, what's the dog doing there? How did the dog get it to then take it and burn up the other person's kaddish? So the Gemara says, Bishachasa, it's talking about where he dug under, and that's how he got into the person's house to get the biscuit with the coal. So Amrav Mar Bered Rav Kahane, he says, Zaysamer, so what you see from this halacha, from the fact that we see that we're making the owner of the dog liable for the biscuit nezik shalom, obviously we see that it's not abnormal for the dog to dig under the door to get to the kol. So what you see is it's damd losses chasuris hanetzel kelev. When you have a door blocking something, it's very normal for the dog to dig under, and therefore it wouldn't be considered abnormal to say that the liability on the biscuit would only be chatzin nezik. We see that the liability is nezik shalom. That must be urchi, must be normative, and that's how he got it. That's why there's no liability in the other case, meaning on the part of the gadish, on the bala gecheles, because he was nice, he watched it well. How did the dog get it? Very normal for a dog to dig under, and that's even more than just that's how he got it. It's even normal because that's why he's chayv nezik shalom on the consumption of the biscuit. Now, however, the Gemara asked the achle hecha, so let's go next, further figuring out this case. Where did the dog eat this biscuit? Ilim de achle begadish de alma, if you say that he ate it in just any person's gadish, so then the question is, then why would he be paying nezik shalom for the charara? So what are you saying? You're saying because it's normal. Which mazik is that? That's the mazik of shame, because it's getting hanah lezekin in damaging this biscuit. Problem is, habi'ino ubiyur b'stei achar, but we need that for the liability of shame, that the consumption of that person's produce has to be in his domain, in the nizik's domain. But like, you don't have that. Because as we said from Rashi before, the Gemara assumes that the owner of the kol is one person, the owner of the dog is another person, and you have a third person who is the owner of the gadish. So we asked, so if somebody else, he should be chayiv, the owner of the kol, for bringing up the other person's gadish. Now, okay, we said he's not because he watched it well. But either way is that, so he took the cookie and the kol from this one person, and now he went to someone else's gadish. Why you chayiv nezik shalom on that person's cookie if the dog ate it in the other person's field where the gadish was? And to be chayiv nezik shalom on Shane, you have to eat it in the nizik, in the damaged party's domain, and it's not. So the Gemara says, Leit tzricha, no, the case is told, de achle begadish de bal chararo. Actually, the owner of the biscuit is the owner of the gadish, and therefore, again, that's why the question is not difficult before, but we had thought it was different people, but that's why you're going to have a bir b'stei achar, because he's eating the cookie, the biscuit, in the same property where the gadish gets burnt up, because it's owned by the same person, therefore it's bir b'stei achar, it is in rishus and nizik. So the Gemara says, tivshit, so then we could resolve, and the fact that we said that you have to pay, the owner of the dog has to pay for the biscuit that was eaten by his dog, you could resolve the pi para, that the mouth of a cow that damages, who eats something in the chatzra nizik, is as we continue on tamid beis, ke chatzra nizik dami. We consider that the mouth, which is eating from the mazik, from the dog, in the other person's domain, as that's also part of the domain of the nizik, and therefore you're calling it ubir b'stei achar, that it's eating in that nizik's domain. Because the ikka chatzra mazik dami, if you would entertain to say that the mouth of the dog is owned by the owner of the dog, which is, it's his domain, although it's mobile, but it's his property, it's inside his dog's mouth, so it would be kechatzar hamazik, So then Leimalei, so then why would you say that the owner of the dog would be chayiv for the shein of eating up that person's biscuit in his domain? It's not the nizik's domain. It's the mazik's domain. The inside of the mouth of the dog is the chatzar mazik. And therefore, then he would be exempt because he could tell the nizik, my boy riftach bepumid dekal boi. What is your bread doing in the mouth of my dog? Which obviously we know how it got there, but what we mean to say is that, what do you mean? It's the rishus of the mazik. Rishus of the mazik, he's pater on chain in such a case. So obviously, says the Gemara, from this halacha you see that the liability of the chararit tells us that although it's in the mouth of the dog, and that's where it's eating it, and that's the rishus of the mazik, we don't consider rishus of the mazik, we consider rishus of nizik, even though his dog is his property, and then it should be his rishus. Since he's eating, the mouth is eating in the rishus of nizik, we consider rishus of nizik, and that's why it's chayav. Because the Gemara actually says, Dibaylu, because we had asked this as a question. The question we asked was, P part of the mouth of a cow, Kachatza Nizik Dami? Do we consider it as the larger area that the dog, that the cow is in, which is in the domain of the Nizik? Like Kachatza Mazik Dami? Or do we say that it's the Chatzar of the Mazik, because it's inside the area owned by the cow? Now, on that, the Gemara says regarding that question, why did we ever have such a question? It's obvious, meaning, forget about the Raya we brought from our Mishnah, it would be obvious that it would be like the Chatzar Nizik. Because the Gemara says, V'yamrit kechatz ha-mazik, if you would entertain to say that the mouth of the shar ha-mazik is like the domain of the mazik, then shein d'chayv rachman ha-hechem eshkachas, then how do you ever have a case of the Torah's liability for an animal eating and thus damaging someone else's produce? How does it eat? With the mouth. Oh, in the mouth, oh, rishus ha-mazik, you said that the liability is only rishus ha-nizik. You can never have rishus ha-nizik. Obviously, it has to be like rishus ha-nizik. And then the Gemara says, no, not a riot. That wouldn't be a riot. Amr of Mori Bereid Rav Kahana, he says, Kagan, I would tell you, for example, a case, you could have the mazik of Shein, although not with the act of consumption, but like as one of the talodis of Shein, which is when the animal rubs itself against a wall for its pleasure, and thus breaks the wall and damages it. So although you can't have, you're right, an exact case of Shein, you wouldn't have liability for, because that would be Shein b'shus ha-mazik, which is pater, but however, you could have a mazik of shein to be chayiv for in rishus ha-nizik would be when it doesn't go into the mouth of the animal, when it just rubs itself for benefit, which is a telada of shein. And so too, v'tinfa peris la-nasa, another telada of shein, when it rolls around in the produce for just fun and pleasure, like the horses and the donkeys do, that would be considered a telada of shein when its kavanasa is hanol la-hazeka, it's getting benefit from the damage that it's causing. That would be a case of shein, b'shus ha-nizik, that you'd be chayiv for, so it wouldn't be a raya. Now, Maskevler of Mazutra, Mazutra asks on that answer and says, well, the problem is you need, as the Pasuk says, which is the source that we know that Obir b'ste'acha refers to Shein, which the Gemara in the beginning of the Masechta said, Kashivar ha-gol ha-tumay, which we know that refers to the mazik of Shein, because there it talks about the same word Yivar, which refers to destroying things through pleasure. Now, the Pasuk there says, it has to be Kashivar ha-gol, like the gull, which we explained means either the dung that comes out of the animal after it eats, or the teeth that are sometimes revealed, but it consumes until ad-tumay, until it's finishes, it totally destroys the thing that there's no principle left. Where again, we said ubir is zehashen. Now, the problem is, v'leka, in the two cases you just described to say, oh, we could have shein to be chayiv b'shus ha-nizik, we're either rubbing itself against the wall or rolling in the fruits, there it didn't totally get rid of the thing. It didn't get rid, because when it eats, it ceases to exist. But here, you have the broken bricks, you have the fruits that are ruined, but they're still be'en, they still exist. How would you be able to explain that to be the pasuk of Kashivah HaGalad Tumay, which has to be totally demolished, totally disintegrated? So Ravin Ami says, no, it's not a difficulty. The Shav Tzalmi, for example, the case of when it's Neschach HaBakayis, when it rubs itself against the wall, what the damage would be is that, let's say there was a form that was carved out on the wall, where then if it rubs and rubs and rubs, it totally erases that form, that's tumay. That hezek was totally removed from this world. And so Rav Ashi says regarding the other case of the fase pasui, regarding the case when it rolls around in the fruits, where it's in the mud and it rolls around in it, where there you can't even get it out of the mud anymore, it's totally ruined, that would be a case of Mechal Yikarna. So therefore it is a valid answer, and therefore it wouldn't be a raya from there itself, that obviously Pipara is Kechatzah HaNizik Dami, because then how would you have Shein? You would have Shein. How would you have Shein? Even of Mechal Yikarna, when it rubs itself against the wall and ruins the image, or when it rolls in the produce in the mud, which it totally destroys it. So it must have Toshima. Come in here, I'll bring you a different ride from Masechta Sanhedrin, that how could you entertain to say, obviously, the pipara, the mouth of the animal, is l'rishus hanizik. Because the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, shista b'yasai kelev, if a person incites a dog on a person, or shista b'yasai nachash, or he incites a snake on a person, says the Mishnah, pater, he's pater. So the Gemara is man pater, who's the Mishnah saying is exempt? Mishasa pater, the inciter, the one who incites the animal is exempt, because he's only what's called a grama b'nizakin, he's just a cause, but he didn't do the actual damage himself. And grama b'nizakin, his pater is exempt. But it sounds like, it says in the singular, he's exempt. But v'chai bal kalev, it sounds like, but the owner of the dog is going to be liable because his dog caused the damage. The insider is exempt because he's a grama. On that, the Gemara says, v'yamet kechatzra mazik dem, but if you're going to say the mouth of the mazik is like the domain of the mazik, leimalei, let the owner of the dog tell the person that got bitten by his dog, my boy yotcha bepumi dekal boy, what's your hand doing in my dog's mouth? In other words, we always say when a person gets damaged in the Rishus HaMazik, the Rishus HaMazik is exempt. What are you doing in my property? You're upset that my animal harmed you? You shouldn't be in my property. So if you say that the mouth is the Rishus HaMazik, why is the owner of the dog going to be chayiv if his hand is in the Rishus of the Mazik? So the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Ema patr af mashasa. Say that the words of the Mishnah there are saying that the patr, the singular, when it says on the inciter, it's saying meaning also the one who incites. But of course, the owner of the dog, because that's Rishus HaMazik, and that's why he's going to be exempt. So there's no raya from there that it's like Rishus HaNizik. Or another approach you can give is that you're right. The owner of the dog would be chayev. Why? The afki lenivi, the case would be told where the dog stuck its teeth out of its mouth, the sarte, and it bit the person. So in other words, the person's hand never went into the mouth of the dog. If the hand went in, then you're right. The owner of the dog would be exempt because it's Rishus HaMazik. Here, the teeth went out, and that's how it bit. That was never in Rishus HaMazik, and that's why the owner of the dog would be chayev in such a case. Again, no raya, however, that the pipara is kirshus hanizik. So the Mishnah says, Tashma, let's bring another raya from that Mishnah, Masechta Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says, Heshech b'yes ha-nachash. Let's say a person incites a snake to bite a person, which as Rashi explains the cases where the person takes a snake in his hand, and he takes the mouth of the snake all the way to his friend's hand, until his hand goes inside the mouth of the snake, and then the snake bites and kills that person. So Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda says the person that held the snake is liable for killing that person. However, the sages say he's exempt. Now, V'amr Rav Acha ben Yaakov, he says, Kishatim Tzolayim, if you want to look into this and analyze that machlekes, he explained that the Lediv Rabbi Yehuda, what you have to say according to Rabbi Yehuda, is he holds that Eres Nochash ben Shinav Hu Aymed. The poison, which ultimately killed that person of a snake, lays between the teeth of the snake. In other words, even without the intent of the snake, the poison is there. So by just putting the snake on top of that person's hand, automatically that's going to cause that person to die. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds, that the one who incited the snake, who brought the snake to that person, is going to be liable for the death penalty, which is through Saif with the sword, because it's as if he actively killed that person, because it's like taking a gun or a knife, whatever it is, because the snake doesn't have any free will regarding that. It's in the teeth. Automatically, by just being there and biting on that person, it's going to kill him. Now, v'nachash pata, and therefore the snake is going to be exempt, because he didn't kill. This person went and took him to that person. But however, according to the word, opinion of the sages, no, eres nachash mi'atzma meki. The poison of the snake is not right there. He has to spit it out. He has to want to spit out the poison to kill a person. That's why the Chum hold that the snake is going to get stoned, which is a general halacha the Torah says in Shmos Chaf Aleph, Hasher Yisakal, which is anytime an animal kills a person, the ox gets killed. So then, so too, the snake here, which kills a person, the snake is going to get killed, umakish pata, and the insider is going to be exempt because he didn't kill the person. Even if he takes the snake all the way on the person's hand, the snake has to want it to expel it from its mouth, and therefore it was the snake that did it, not the person. That's that machlekes with the Amaruk interpretation. Says the Gemara, v'yamrit pipar kachatz ha-mazik damina. If you say that the mouth of an animal is like the domain of the mazik, so then why are you saying that the person is going to be chayiv, at least if you hold that the poison is right there, like Rabbi Yehuda says, and therefore he's killing that person, but why? I'm not chayiv. Now, that the Gemara says regarding this last case, Now, if you say that the mouth of the animal that damages is like the domain of the mazik, so how do we understand this last case? He should tell him, what's your hand doing in the mouth of my snake? Why is it, according to the Chacham, that the snake, yes, the snake is the one that's bringing out the poison, and therefore he's killing the person. Why does the snake get killed? Why should the owner of the snake be liable? He should say, your hand is b'shus ha-mazik, and we know that b'shus ha-mazik, the mazik is exempt, because you said that it could be like b'shus ha-mazik. Obviously, says the Gemara, from that machlekes, from the Chacham, you see that obviously it's like b'shus ha-nizik. So I think Gemara says, no, le'inin ketala, meaning generally I could tell you that it is b'shus ha-mazik. But regarding the killing of the snake for the murder of that person, lo yaminin, thee we don't say this svara of my boy yodach, what's your hand doing in the shus of the mazik? In other words, I could tell you that even though, yes, the mouth of the damaging animal is like the property of the mazik, that still he's not going to be exempt from the murder of his animal. Rather, his animal is going to get killed. But you're right, says the Gemara, and possibly I could say regarding damages, then we do say this svara my boy b'shusi, which as we say this logic in general, whenever a damaged party got damaged because he came into the Rishus HaMiuchedes LaMazik, which was brought in the Mishnah of Tesama Beis, there you're going to be exempt. Now, that's the question we had posed during the Gemara. Now, pi para, the mouth of the damaging animal, is that like Chatzah Mazik that you're exempt or not? But however, until we had the Alocha of our Mishnah, which there we proved definitely that from the case of the Kelev that takes the Charara, when that he eats the Charara, that he's going to be Chayiv Nezik Shalom for that, obviously we said that it's Kechatzar Nizik Dami. But from all the riots that we had up until now, colluding this last one with the snake that kills, gets killed itself, that's different. For that Halacha, although yes, it's like Kechatzar Mazik, and for the damages of that person, the owner of the snake is going to be exempt, but the snake itself is going to be killed. Which the Gemara says, I'm not tamra. Where do you see that there is such a precedent where, although it's like chatzah mazik, and therefore you'll be exempt from the damages, however, regarding the killing of the animal that killed that person, will be chayv? It's the time that Glint Nebraisa says clearly this differentiation. Hanechnes l'chatzah balabai shalei b'shus. If someone walks into someone else's property without permission, v'nokhoi sherish al balabai sumeis. Now the ox of the homeowner, protecting the premises, comes and gores and kills that person that was a trespasser. Says the Braisa Hashur Biskila, the ox gets stoned for killing that person. Ubailam Turmina Kaifer. The owner of that ox, he's exempt from Kaifer, which is the liability when the person who has an ox that kills a person. Now, Bailam Baturmina Kaifer my time. What's the reason that the owners are exempt from paying the atonement for the person that his ox killed? Domali, because he tells him, or his estate, he's already dead, Bishusi my boys. What were you doing in my property? I'm not responsible for you walking in. Now that you're dead, that's not my liability. Now then the question is, so shari nami le malay my boy is bishri. So then why does his ox get stoned? He should say the same thing for his ox. It shouldn't get stoned because what were you doing in my property? Eli rather says the Gemara, you see this precedent, that's a different halacha. Regarding an animal killing a person, even though you're not liable for it, it was in your rishus, meaning you could say the same thing regarding the snake, that it is rishus amazik. However, regarding the killing of the snake will be killed, as we find this halacha in this brisa. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, there's no rayas from all these proofs that it is like Rishus HaNizik, but there was one proof from our Mishnah that obviously the mouth of the Kelev, of the damaging party, is like the Rishus of the Nizik, and that's why he chayv for the Charor and Nizik Shalom, or else if it was Rishus HaMazik, you'd be exempt. I think Gemara brings an incident relating to these halachas. Hanu Izi de Beit Tarbu, there were these goats of this family of Tarbu, that have a master de Leila Rav Yosef that was damaging the property of Rav Yosef. So Amalel Abaye said to Abaye, Zil emlehu lemarayu dilitzninu. Go tell the owners of these goats that are damaging my property to protect and close off and hide their goats, that they shouldn't just be roaming and damaging my property. So Amalei Sabai said to Rav Yosef, Amai Ezel, why should I go? Diya zilne, if I'm going to go to them, Amrili, you know what they're going to tell me? Lig demar gedir ba'ari. You should fence your property. You're upset my animals are damaging. You close up your property. What do you want from me? So what am I going to go and tell them? That they should lock up their goats? They're going to say you should lock up your field. Now, the question is, on what Abaye was saying, V'igada, what do you mean? If you're telling me that it's the liability, it's incumbent upon Rav Yosef, the damaged party, to protect, to fence his fields, then how could the Torah ever make a liability of a person's ox, a person's animal, that consumes in the other person's property? Where do you ever find such a case? if you're telling me that it's incumbent upon the damaged party to lock up his premises, so then the animal can never get in. Obviously, he doesn't have to, and the animal, that's how it could get in, and that's why you chayav for shein, because if not, then how could he get in? So why is Abaye saying that they're going to say you closed your property? Obviously, he doesn't have to. Now the Gemara says, no, it wouldn't be a raya. It could be talking about kishachasra. When the animal goes and digs under, as we said before, it's very normal for an animal to dig under the door to get what it wants from inside. That's the case that we'd be talking about for the mazik of Shein, where it could be he has to close it up and still the animal would be able to get in. Or inami, or it could be talking about the nafal gud belelya, where the wall falls at nighttime. In other words, then you can't blame the damaged party saying, well, you should have protected. I did protect. The wall fell during the nighttime. That's how the animal would be able to get in and be chayav for shein. But again, it's still the responsibility, possibly, that's what Abaye was saying, they're going to say, for the nizik to close up and wall off his area, and therefore I can't tell them to put away their goats. They're going to say to close up your property. Now, however, a related topic, Machras Rav Yisuf. Rav Yisuf announced, Vitam, and some say it was Rabbah, the Sulkin La'ela, for those that go up, meaning from Bavel, which is lower down, up to Eretz Yisrael, or Dinachsin L'Tachto, or those from Eretz Yisrael that go down to Bavel, he was saying you should be proficient in this halacha, which is, Hani Izi Deshuka, regarding the goats of the marketplace, meaning of the butchers, that their goats that they have in their herd are to be slaughtered, it's just that they hold on to it until the marketplace, when they have the market day, which is when people come to buy the meat. Now, if those goats are the mafsidim, they're destroying, they're ruining other people's properties, they're eating and they're coming and they're going, then masrinim b'marai, says Rabbi Yosef, then we warn the owners if it's causing damage, even in the Rishus HaRabim, which that's a chiddush because Shein and Regal are patur in Rishus HaRabim, says Rabbi Yosef, even if the damages that they're doing are in the public domain, which they're exempt, but if they're causing damage, we warn the owners trei etlas hazimnin, 2-3 times, Itzayis tzayis, if he listens, meaning he'll keep his animal away, fine, then he could keep his animals. Viloi, but if he doesn't listen and it's continuing to cause damage, then Amrili, we tell him, Tiv amsachta, sit by the place where the butchers usually sit, v'kabal zuzuch, and receive your money. In other words, we tell him that even though it's not market day yet, you have to go ahead and slaughter your animals, because since anyways it's going to be slaughtered, it's just not yet. You're not going to maybe make as much money, but since they're causing damages, then we force you to go ahead and slaughter it even earlier than the market day. Whereas Tosfos points out, it's specifically this case of, as he said, the izi deshuka, which are these animals that are groomed for slaughter. And therefore, the chiddush is that even though he would have to pay what he caused the damage, he can't hold on to them anymore. And the reason being is because sometimes people don't want to go to court to have to get their money back, or sometimes you don't have witnesses. So there is where we say, okay, you got to slaughter it. But if let's say it's the goat that you're not keeping it to slaughter, you're keeping it for its milk, or a sheep for its shearings, then the owner of the goat could say, no, when the damages, I'll pay. Because as actually the previous Gemara had said regarding these goats of Beit Harbu, where Rav Yisuf said to Abaye to tell them, zilatz ni'inu, go ahead and hide them. He didn't say go ahead and tell them to slaughter them, because those weren't goats that were anyways going to be slaughtered. Then we don't say that you have to slaughter it. Then we say just you got to protect them. But it's regarding these that anyways going to be slaughtered and they're causing damage. Then we say, okay, you know what? Slaughter them now, because we don't want people to have to get their money back and maybe they're not going to have proof. And therefore you got to slaughter it even now. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnayis of this second parak, explaining the Mishnayis of the first parak on Tav Tezvav Mabes, where it was talking about different mu'adim. So this one is talking about the mazik of Karen, where the Mishnah says, Eizehu tam veizehu mu'ud. What makes a shur ha-mu'ud into a tam, meaning to not be any more chayiv nezik shalom, and what makes it into a mu'ud that it is going to be chayiv nezik shalom? So the Mishnah explains, mu'ud, which is an ox that a gourd that's going to be chayiv nezik shalom, is kol she'idu by shloshi yam, is that if the animal was, what the owner was warned, 3 consecutive days, and it gored on those 3 days, then it becomes a shor hamazik, that's a mu'ud, to be chayiv nezik shalom. Now it's already normal. The tam, but to be considered a tam, which only chatzi nezik, and it's mishun, it's not normal, is mishiyachza b'shleishayam, if the ox sees other oxen for 3 days and doesn't gore, then it actually reverts back to its status of tam, and it's only going to be chayiv chatzi nezik. That's the Rabbi Yehuda. He disagrees. He says muid she'idu b'shleisha pa'amim. He also says that to become a muid is 3 times, but he says that even if they're in 1 day, even if at 10 a.m. it gored and there was one, and then at 1 p.m. and then at 5 p.m. did it three times, that will make it into a Shor Hamur to be Chayiv Nezek Shalom. And also, B'tam, regarding the criterion of Tam, he says, Kol Sheyu HaTinuk is Mimash Mishim Boi Ve'in Negech. How does it become a Tam? If let's say the kids were playing around with it, with this ox, and still it doesn't gore, so we see that already its nature, its characteristic is not anymore that of a gore. Rather, it's one of just one that doesn't usually do things like that. And we know that because the kids are playing with it and it's not doing that, then it has the halacha like a tam. And if it ends up goring, then it won't be chayiv chatzi nezek. So the Gemara begins explaining the Mishnah by saying, my time with Rabbi Huda. What's the reason, Rabbi Huda, that he says that the halacha of Shor Hamur is if it gores 3 days in a row? So Amabai, he says, because the pasuk in Shemais, and this is in Perichav Alf, pasuk Lamed Vav, which talks about the Shor becoming a Shor Hamur, says there in the pasuk, Oy Noida, or if it became known, Kishur Nagahu, that it's an ox that gores. Why? Because it did it mitmoil, did it yesterday, Shulshim the day before that, the Leishmer in the Balav, and the owner doesn't watch it. So there it says, Shalom Yishalom Ashur Tachas Ashur. So you got to pay Nezik Shalom, where you got to give a new ox for the old ox, Vamesi Eloi, and the dead one stays over there, and you got to compensate for the full amount of damages. So Abai explains the word tmoil, if it would have said tmoil, not mitmoil, the word tmoil, that's chad, that's one day before, which is yesterday. Mitmal, the extra mem, tells you trey, 2 days. Shulshaim, before yesterday, adds on tlasa, adds on 3 days. Now, then when the pasuk continues and says, and the owner didn't watch it, asan l'negicha revias, explains Abaya, that comes to tell you regarding the fourth goring. That is, if it didn't watch it, and now it gored a fourth time, now he has to pay min aliyah, even from what he has at home, even what's not the value of the ox, Nezik Shalom, but says Abai regarding the third time, that's still going to be Chatzi Nezik, because that's Tmol, Mitmol, and Shulshem. That's just making it into the Shor Hamur. But the third time, he's still Chayv Chatzi Nezik, it's the fourth time, he's Chayv Nezik Shalom. Rav Amar, he disagrees. He says, Tmol, Mitmol, Chat, that's one. Mitmol from yesterday, that's one. Shulshem, that's two. Trey, that's from the day before that. Now, then when the Pasuk continues, says, B'leishmer, and it doesn't watch it, that's Ha'idna, that's right now in the third goring. That's where the pasuk saying chayv that you can be chayv on that, as the pasuk there says nezek shalom. So therefore, we have a disagreement between Abai and Rava in the opinion of Rabbi Huda, who says that not like Rameh, that's 3 times; it could be even 1 day. He holds it has to be 3 days. Question is, but yes, on the third day, what does that do? Is that still chatzi nezek like Abai says, and it's only on the fourth time that you nezek shalom? Or as Rava says that no, it's actually on the third time, which is the third day, which is on that day is when you're actually already a mu'ud, and it's on that third time already, on the third day, that Rava says you're going to be chayv according to Behuda, nezek shalom.